It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weird?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts, Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On.
Hey, hey.
It's Kevin and Cher, and we are here.
We're here.
With each and every one of you, we are coming through the airwaves to your
ears. We hope so. We hope that somebody
bringing,
hears us.
Yeah. Are you out there? Hello? If you are, hit us up at testimony at ourlighthouse.net.
Look at your
book. One day someone's actually going to send us something, Cher.
Yeah. A few of you have written us, but
it's like in the movie Grease. Did you ever see the movie Grease? You
know? I did, but at what
And Coach Calhoun's there, and he's like, we're going to roll them around and rip them and tear them up, you know, to win the game, and then we're going to ring that victory bell like we always wanted to.
Is that when he's
you know,
on the...
And
on
that's
the...
how it is. We're just waiting for someone to send us just... We want to know you're out there.
We've had people write us. Kevin's really making it sound like a very pitiful thing, but it's not. We're grateful for you guys. Well, so we're doing miracles, and we're on Miracle 25, and I just calling this out, like I've been using... thebible.org as my source, and I've never really used that too much. This isn't a plug we're not getting.
Right. This is not They're not paying us
to do this.
Not at all.
But
nobody is.
Bible.org is a really good resource if you guys haven't gone in there just to see very fact-based things that it's commentary, but it's very fact-based. It's really interesting. I've enjoyed like going to that and using that as one of our means of kind of gathering some interesting points to plug in here while we're talking. So anyways, I just thought I would say
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So today we're going to be reading, I think we're going to do two miracles today. The one that we have is a little
25
bit, they're both
26.
A little bit shorter. Yeah. This one's about healing the deaf and dumb man.
Right.
And I think this is another really good one. I'm not ever going to get tired of Jesus repeating miracles, and you know, this one has a couple different ways of Jesus doing it, which is just a whole nother level of him saying, you know, sometimes we need something in our lives and we play it out in our head so many times, Kevin, of like how it needs to go down.
Sure.
And the Lord is like, you can barely come up with one idea and I have a million ways that I could get that done
right,
for you.
Right.
You know what? I have a story.
All right, let's hear it.
This woman was needing a miracle in her finances. She knew how to stand on the word and declare the word of the Lord. And so she was speaking to that mountain of debt and these things that she had going on. And she was just standing on the word that the Lord was going to provide and provision and breakthrough and that she was going to be debt free and this, that, and the other, you know. But there were times where her flesh, which, you know, we're learning all through these stories, that doubt would try to come in because her natural circumstances didn't look like that, right? So she's just bebopping along in the airport, right, and is on her way to go visit some family and gets on the plane, gets situated. She's got a window seat. The person behind them took off their shoes and socks and decided to slide their foot. Okay, so picture
their stinky foot, right?
Stinky, I'm sure. But they decided to slide their bare foot in between the wall because they're a window seat behind her, right?
Nice.
So slide it up and rest it. Like
on their armrest?
On her armrest, okay?
Nice.
So first of all, your reaction to that would be like, you would be pushing them off like, you know, okay, let's say you were polite about it. Like, excuse me, you need to get your
I would have went all dusty roads, man. I would have done the elbow, like, you know. Just
grind your elbow in there.
Yeah.
Or just wipe some jelly on them. I don't know.
Oh, that would have been fun.
That would be gross. But anyway, I don't know. But so she did it. Her response was jokingly to take a picture and post it on Facebook. And so she leaned up against it, you know, and like the foot's right there. And she's like, this is really happening or something.
Say
I don't remember
cheese.
The exact post, you know. Well, guess what? It went absolutely viral. And there were so many sponsors and people wanting to use that for commercials and a bunch of other things that she made a lot of money. I don't quote me on this, but I feel like she made millions off of
this photo.
Yeah, it was a lot off of this stinky foot. So if that's not a testimony to what the Lord can do,
he can
use a stinky foot in your face. And here's the thing, her response to it was to take a picture and make light of it and make joy of it somehow. And I know that not everything we have is joyful, but her response wasn't to be really irate and rude.
Wow.
And she stayed in, let's say the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
And
right.
So her response was staying in the fruits of the Spirit and just taking that picture. And so, you know, if anything we've learned from all of this is just the Lord has a million ways that he can provide your miracle. And we're about to learn, although Jesus is already healed. You see how I'm bringing this back around?
Yeah, bring it.
Jesus had already, you know, healed a deaf and dumb man, they say, a mute man.
Right.
He's about to do it again, and he's about to do it a different way.
And again and again and again.
Yeah.
Think of how many deaf people have received their hearing through Jesus.
I've told you guys, I'm pretty sure, you know, I've seen that miracle. There is nothing, it'll make me cry right now.
Sure.
There is nothing more incredibly amazing than to see Jesus use you and through you pray for someone who was born without parts in their ear to hear. She had a speech impediment. And watch her hear worship music for the first time.
Yeah.
Oof,
I watched a grandfather hear his granddaughter's voice for the first time in Nicaragua when we prayed for him and God opened his ears.
Those videos are just like, they crush.
Just tears,
they just go, man, they're so good. But anyway.
Okay. Here, have a tissue.
So,
let's jump on this. Healing the deaf and dumb man in Mark 7, 31 through 37.
Go ahead. You're going to read today.
All right. Then Jesus went out again from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty speaking. And they asked him to place his hands on him. And after Jesus took him aside privately away from the crowd, he put his fingers in the man's ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue. Mm. And then he looked up to heaven and said with a sigh, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened and his tongue loosened and he spoke plainly. Mm. Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone, but as much as he ordered them not to do this, they proclaimed it all the more.
Yeah.
People were completely astounded and said, he has done everything well, and he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Wow.
So crazy. I mean,
another Gentile story.
Right. So Jesus is still with the Gentiles, and from the stuff that I read, it looks like that he's been with them for several months. And some people think that the trip from Tyre through Sidon lasted about 8 months. So, you know, he's about probably halfway through this ministering in this area. So he was there with the Gentiles for a while. It's kind of a good thing to put in.
That is cool, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus was basically, you know, ministering. And we've talked about this in the program, to multitudes share. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about like, oh, yeah, there were 10 Gentiles over there and he was talking to them. We're talking about being thronged. We're talking about crowds. We're talking about all of this.
If you think about what that meant to that man, you know. That,
sure.
That
I mean, imagine what having that condition, you know, and being healed from it meant
You know,
to him. You
not
know?
Being able to hear is, and then it says he had difficulty speaking too. So that barrier for someone that is dealing with that is this is life-changing things that are happening. And Gentiles all over this town are getting to see him and experiencing,
sure.
you know. And I love the way that Jesus did that. His manner, it was done privately,
right?
You know.
Right.
So now there's like there's crowds of people everywhere, but Jesus is is pulling this man to the side, you know. So Jesus isn't needing,
right? Right.
They're wanting it, and they want to see, and they want to be a part of it. Jesus,
the sensationalism
is actually,
of the crowds,
right.
And look. Right. Are you not entertained? I always think of that. Like from
what is that movie from?
Oh, that was from the
Gladiator.
Yeah.
But
I love Jesus's method, though.
Yeah.
You know, let's look at that for a minute, because, you know, I love to pray for people, and I love, you know, I can remember my wife getting prayed for one time, and the person just slapped her in the ears, you know, just cupped her on both ears. She had migraine headaches and literally dropped her to the ground. It was actually Benny Hinn was at one of our churches back in the day. And
he popped her ears?
Just cupped her, and she was in so much pain, she's crying, went back to her seat, and everyone's like, oh, she got touched by the Lord, you know.
That hurt.
And she's like, I'm in so much pain, I just, you know, and she was like wanting to leave, and then we turned around, and would you believe she never had another migraine?
Wow,
so,
praise the
Lord.
You
know, we got to look at the method, because here is Jesus, you know, he wants to lay hands on, you know, this guy, and he does it a different way. He touches the ears. Then he touches the tongue, and then he spits.
Right.
And then touches the tongue. That's just kind of nasty when you think about it.
Yeah, but he touched his ears, which is what he needed hearing in, and then he touched his mouth, which is what he needed healing from, being able to speak. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But it's that command which heals, you know, not the power of the saliva. But it's part of this. It's, you know... It's just really, it's really interesting that he did it that way.
Yeah, so. For sure. Well, you know, it was a complete healing, you know, and all the miracles, you know, are complete healings.
Right, you know, and so we've got Jesus with the multitudes, and, you know, he tells them not to tell anyone, and, you know, perhaps to keep the multitudes from really looking for another, like, miracle worker, like we said, and sensationalizing things. But he was looking less for following, you know, he was looking less for a following than he was for people to have the faith to follow, which is different, you know, and so we've got to call that out. And
well, you know, I believe that Jesus has the ability to heal all manner of disease, and he proves himself to be the Messiah over and over again in these situations.
Right.
You know, I mean, the miracle work of the Messiah among the Jews is now available among the Gentiles, and I think we're seeing that as a pattern now. Jesus is making that crossover, and he's saying it's going to be for everybody now, and he's spent 8 months now with all these people. What a great miracle, you know?
It really is. It's really cool, and you know, like we said, we kind of framed this up with Jesus doing it a different way, and now he's actually used a spit and touched him, laid his hands on him, and have you seen a miracle where Jesus actually laid his hands on him? All the other ones he just spoke, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Unless I'm forgetting.
Right.
I think this is the first one where we've seen Jesus take an action of touching and spitting. There were other things involved.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting to consider.
He's getting creative. I like it.
Let's talk about this other miracle. So we've already told you guys about the feeding of the 5,000. This is the feeding of the 4,000 plus, it says.
Nice.
It doesn't give us details, but remember, this is the Gentiles now. The Lord did it. Jesus did it for the Jews. Now he's in a Gentile environment. You know, he's in Tyre. And this
something
is
like that.
Yeah. So he's in Mark.
Makes me teared. Just trying to think about it.
It's so tiring. I had a funny one too.
There you go.
So rare that I have a joke.
This scripture is actually in Mark 8. It's actually verse 1 through 10. Why don't you take us in there? Yeah.
In those days, there was another large crowd with nothing to eat. So Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have already been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will faint on their way. So they must have been really weary. And some of them have come from a great distance. His disciples answered him, saying, well, where can someone get enough bread in this desolate place to satisfy these people? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They replied, 7. Then he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke them and began giving them to disciples to serve. So they served the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after giving thanks for these, he told them to serve to them as well. So everyone ate and was satisfied, and they picked up the broken pieces left over. 7 baskets full were left over.
Wow.
And it says there were about 4,000 people who ate. And it said, and then he dismissed them. Immediately he got in the boat with the disciples and went off to the next district of Dalmanutha. So,
yeah.
Wow. You know what's kind of crazy is that they didn't even... They're asking them again how they're going to feed these people. It's like, I don't know, they forgot.
Yeah, right.
That he could do this miracle.
Dude, just fed 5,000. But I mean, I think some people think that it's the same miracle.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And,
we should maybe correct or kind of call out.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
You know, they were in totally different regions.
Right.
The scripture is very clear.
Yeah.
You know, but Matthew and Mark both recorded these, you know. I mean, the 5,000. miracle was at Bethsaida, and then the 4,000 miracle in Scripture says it was at Decapolis.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, I know they mentioned that, you know, the 5,000 sat on the grass, and the 4,000, it said they sat on the ground. There's no grass mentioned. Like, there's a lot of, like, things that are very different, and, you know, before Jesus wanted to rest, and in the 4,000, it says Jesus was traveling before, you know, there's no mention of him resting. Like, it just, once you start really comparing,
you can see that. In the first one, actually, in the 5,000, too, it was like right after a storm. There's no mention of a storm here.
Right, you know. So, yeah, the multitude was nearby, and this multitude says that they were in the distance. I mean, there's too many contradicting things, and we don't have to go through all of them. But,
you know.
Five loaves and two
and
fish.
And seven loaves and a few fish.
Yeah, and then there was 12 baskets full remaining, and the first miracle.
This is obviously a totally different miracle.
It's kind of good to see what things were a little bit different, but still the same type of miracle, you know. And
I wonder what the difference is on the number 12 for the 12 baskets in the first one, and then seven.
You know, it's significant.
You know?
I know 12 means government,
know,
and 12 means tribe. I wonder what the seven.
But
seven means completion. I don't know. Yeah, they're in the Jews and the Gentiles. It's just there's a lot. The first one they said he was with them for a day, and then this one they said that he was with them for 3 days. So that's kind of different too. But so let's talk about, you know.
Well, I mean, you got a lot of different things happening. You got the, you know.
Well, there's some context to this. You've got the woman recently that her daughter, the Canaanite woman.
Right.
She got healed in, what's it called again? Tyre.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's in Decapolis, he's dealing with Gentiles, like all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even in Jewish region, so.
It's all shifting around.
Yeah, well, they all had one thing in common.
Yeah.
For the 5,000 and the 4,000 is that everybody was hungry and they didn't have any food.
Right. Good.
Can we all agree on that?
And that he
we're hungry.
Can you, it's just so cool, like he. Was it cool that you could sit there and, like, were they looking in the basket, and as they handed the basket, like, they saw another fish just pop in there, you know?
Like, I know.
Or did
I don't
it just, like, or were they, was the basket deep and they couldn't really see in there, and they just, as they passed it, when they reached in, there was just always more in there, you know? I don't know. I'm thinking about the realistically, you
Get
the
basket. Was Jesus handing it out, or did he just give them all a little portion, and then they all started handing their baskets out, too?
What does
you know?
It say?
So
it just
many different
says
things.
It just says he,
I think it says Jesus was handing it out.
Right. I don't know. You know, it's really cool. And then we can look at the disciples, and we just pointed it out, but they had no faith again. They didn't have any faith, you know. How could they commit that same sin again where they...
I know,
man.
It's like, guys.
And we're not judging, believe me. I mean, but there has to be just, this is such an example of probably how we all are in some area or aspect of our life, or how we maybe used to be before we realize, like, I cannot keep doing the same thing over when God already showed up in my life. It's like God gives you a miracle, shows up and provides you provision or gives you a new job, and then something happens and there's a shift in your work, and then you're woe is me all over again, and you're like, wait a minute, you know, God's trying to show us, I am your provider, and I will take care of you. I will give you what you need if you trust me, you know. And so Jesus is trying to teach that even though the disciples were walking with him, saw the miracle, they're in a similar situation, and they went to the natural elements, which were, I don't know, I mean, there's nowhere around that there's even where we can even feed them, you know. And Jesus,
there's nowhere,
like,
to get any food.
Do you think Jesus, like, hit his forehead, like,
you know?
I always say that my angel probably has a red mark on their forehead, you know, where they're just having to, like, share, you know, like, what are you doing?
You know,
like,
I think we can get caught up, though, in the middle of stuff, even in our own lives, many times. In hindsight, we can sit here and we can look and go, oh, yeah, look at these guys.
You know, no, I'm relating.
They're struggling, but, you know, when we're in the middle of things in our own lives, it's so much harder to believe
to
for the miracle, you know,
because
you're seeing the lack, you're seeing the hunger, you're seeing all of that, and that's stretching them all,
and
you
that's
know?
Not a supernatural response.
Right.
And so he's trying to teach them to always be in the supernatural, and that's how we need to be.
Exactly.
Instead of panicking. And I can say that's one area of my life, you know, when my job has gone sideways or things just didn't work out and I'm wondering how I'm going to pay bills, the Lord has always provided. And my husband, Paul, you know, Paul, one of the things that he's always said is like, God, you gave me this job, you'll give me another one.
Sure.
You know? So if you're giving God the credit for setting you up as far as where you are now, do you think that he just kicks you to the curb and cuts you off and leaves you hanging? Like,
yeah, right.
He's going to continue to provide. It just may look different than what you think, but you know.
Well, what I love is Jesus always referred to himself as the bread of life.
Right.
You know? And now he's ministering in Gentile territory as he did in the Jewish territory, and he's available to them.
Right.
I love that, you know, we can always find in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, that Jesus was available.
That's right.
He made himself available to all.
Right.
And, you know, by the work of God, you know, they experienced and began to have the provision of God in their lives.
Right, as well.
You know, because they were seeking Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everybody that was there, the 4,000 people that were there, were seeking Jesus. They wanted to know about him. They wanted to experience him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key.
Yeah.
You know, that if we can get to a place in our life where we are really, truly seeking after God,
right,
wanting to hear what Jesus has to say,
right,
then all of a sudden we find ourselves under the provision of God.
Right.
And under the provision,
yeah,
you know, where there's vision, there's provision. You know, it's for the vision. So as we see Jesus, we see his provision as part of, you know, him.
I just had another, like, just bring it into the reality of what was happening, you know. Clearly, the people that were getting the fish and bread were seeing that they only had a few baskets. And then, I mean, the whole crowd got to experience that miracle. And they're like, stick your hand in there. There's more. Stick your hand in there. Listen, I don't know that they're saying this is a miracle.
Yeah.
They ran out of food, you know, 12 people, and they didn't have enough or whatever it was.
Right.
I think it's kind of cool to picture like the basket getting handed to you and you're actually experiencing. And how long did it take for them to pass out that much food to 4,000 people?
Right.
So this was a long lasting miracle that was just going,
kept going
and going and going. And I think of like, you know, the Send, have you heard of the Send?
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Send and, you know, there's 70,000 people in the stadium and it's just that many people experiencing something together. It's so powerful. And I
sure
just imagine
is.
Like what just you're feeling.
The worship.
And yeah, the spirit of the Lord
the
is all over
of God
these people.
Is just moving.
And right. You know, were they rejoicing? Were they singing songs together? Were they cheering? Were they, dude, look, there's another fish.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know, you know.
But wait, there's more. No.
Right, I just think there's this, that part of that that we don't want to leave out that, you know, is just the human nature of seeing the supernatural and them getting to be a part of it.
I think we see Jesus confronting lack in a lot of the miracles, even the first ones in the wedding and all of that. You know, Jesus is saying, there's more than enough in my kingdom for
That's
you.
Right.
So let's take a quick break and come back and talk about this just a little more.
Okay, see you guys.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on.
In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. Oh, I just know Jesus is my God.
Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue is located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
All right.
Hey, we're back.
We are. We're back. And we've been talking about the 4,000 Gentiles.
Right.
And we did a comparison in the beginning and showed that this definitely isn't the same miracle.
Right.
So Jesus has multiplied food, you know, in two different scenarios. And then, you know, I think right before the break, we were just talking about, you know,
the provision,
the supernatural provision
right.
that this really represented.
Right,
Cheryl,
right.
It was incredible. So, you know, it's just it's a miracle. I mean, yeah. There's no other way to explain it than to yeah. just say that, you know, a miracle happened of provision so that the people were fed.
You know what was the same about these miracles is that the disciples, you know, they it's clear that this, if anything, is to teach us, like, sometimes we need to have repeated lessons.
Yeah, Jesus is like, let's try this again.
Let's do it over, and let me see if we can get a different response from you.
Yeah.
And he's so patient and kind with us, and Jesus was doing it with thousands of people, not just for the people to be fed. It was to teach the disciples something that they needed to truly understand probably before the Lord could move forward with giving them more.
Sure.
And it was for us one day when we read it to say, you know, try to figure this out. So, you know,
yeah.
I think that has to do with a measure of faith, right, Kevin? And like,
yeah.
if we continue to grow in our faith and we, you know, we're not tested in the way that we're ever tested for his love. He's always going to love us. But I think that as we're praying these prayers and we're wanting more in our lives and we're wanting all these things, the Lord will put scenarios in front
right,
of us to
right.
see, like, well, is your mindset different? Is your heart
sure.
posture right? Is your, and then that you're like, oh, what are we going to do? Nobody can be fed. And it's like, wait a minute.
I think I that know. Patience and persistence are what Jesus was looking for. And it's the hallmark of ministry. You
it
know,
is.
As a pastor myself, when I'm ministering to people, sometimes I can be impatient because you know, they're just like the disciples.
Right.
They're not quite getting it, and God is working with them, you know. And even though I can see it plainly, and Jesus could see it plainly,
right.
the disciples were still learning. And
right.
I love that Jesus is, you know, so good about that and persistent and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was so good about thanking God. Jesus thanked
yeah.
God. He held the food up and thanked God. So
blessed it.
I think that's a good example that
sure.
we should always be doing the same, right? You should be thanking God for what you have. We should be thankful for the provisions that he's giving
yeah.
us. I'm always thanking him for what he's done in my life and thanking him for what's to come.
Yeah,
you know,
me
that's
too.
That's a good way.
So here's the key. Start with what you have and be grateful for it and thank the Lord for it and then watch him turn that into more in your life. You
and
know?
Move out in faith in it.
Step out in faith.
He wants to give you more. Stay in the area of faith and believing and trusting.
Hope you guys enjoyed the program. We'll see you tomorrow. Turn
bye, guys.
The light on.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.